missions to local areas and get food from people. And they had to do it that way in order to survive and live. January comes, cold and snowy and miserable. Men were dying left and right. Almost every day a man would die from exposure or die from something that was taking place, from some type of disease. And George Washington was seeing his men either die or leave. It looked hopeless. It looked like there was no hope whatsoever for the Continental Army and therefore for the fledgling 13 colonies. And they had no place to go but up. Show me that next slide, Tanner. Now, this is, of course, a picture that is a facsimile of what may have taken place. A fellow by the name of Potts, who was a pacifist, and matter of fact, he was a British Tory. Matter of fact, he supported the British government. He recalls being around Valley Forge, George Washington praying. What would cause Washington to leave camp and to begin to pray? My microphone's going out of me. What would cause George Washington to walk out of camp and bow his knee to God Almighty himself? Because he knew that God was the only hope that he had. He knew the bleakness of what was taking place in the country at that moment. Men were dying. Families were being left behind. Crops were being ravaged. Cities were being destroyed. And he looked all around him and he saw nothing but despair and hopelessness. So George Washington went out by himself and he bowed a knee and he said, "Oh God, we need your help. God, help us." Now, Miss Shirley, you've got a song ready to go. I want Miss Shirley and Miss Carly going to do a song for us this morning as we get into the message this morning. But Psalm 121 is going to be the focus of our message this morning. Psalm 121 this morning. God help us. God help us. Psalm 121. The psalmist writes, he says, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." What caused George Washington to take a knee in that woods full of snow? He looked unto the hills from where his help was going to come from. His help was not going to come from the United States Congress. His help was not going to come from the army. His help was not going to come from the French army and navy. His help was not going to come from anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, where is our help going to come from? God and God alone. He says, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from where cometh my help? My help cometh from the stimulus package." No. My help comes from congressional decree. My help comes from the Supreme Court. Where does our help come from? The Lord, which made heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, our help comes from God and God alone. The creator of the universe. That's where our help comes from. Stop looking for other sources of help. Stop depending upon what man can or cannot do. Stop letting the corruption and the filth and the nastiness of society somehow try to make us feel better. Look to God for your help this morning. Verse number 3. "He will not suffer. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber." He will not let you to be moved away from anything that he's got determined. He does not sleep. He is not a fool. He's not some kind of old tottering man up in heaven who can't hear and can't see. He is God Almighty, brothers and sisters. "Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." He that keeps Israel. Now, what does that mean? He that protects Israel. Israel is God's people. He will never, ever abandon Israel, ever. If God can keep Israel, He can keep us. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Amen to that. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. How long will God preserve us? Forevermore. How long will God be with us? Forevermore. Will God ever abandon us? No. Where is our help? Our help is above. Lord, help us. Brothers and sisters, your help comes from above. And that source is God Almighty Himself. Now you say, Brother Brian, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I don't know if God's even real. There may be somebody listening this morning saying, I don't even know if God's even real. May I assure you, He is real. And He makes Himself known to us at all times. He has been sending us these messages all throughout everything. From the very moment of creation, He has been sending out His love letter to us saying, turn to Me. Look to Me. Trust Me. Matter of fact, go to Hebrews chapter 1 with me real quick. Let me show you the ways in which God has done this. God has not abandoned us. God has made it very plain who He is. God has made it very clear about what He intends for us. Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 1. The writer of Hebrews starts out right at the beginning, and here's what he says. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1, he says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, He spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He says, in times past, God used the prophets to deliver His message. He used Moses. He used Jeremiah. He used Isaiah. He used all the prophets to speak to the people. You read the Old Testament, that is God speaking to His people through the prophets. Brothers and sisters, God has always been calling people to Him. And He's calling you this morning, the very front row with Ryan and John and Alan. He's calling you to Him. He's calling the very back row back there, Donnie, sitting in the way back there. He's calling Donnie to Him. He's calling everybody who's listening. He's calling you to Him this morning. But here's my question. Are you going to listen? Are you going to respond? Are you going to obey? Are you going to do what He clearly is calling you to do? Or are you just in the habit of living day by day just to get by? You don't have to live that kind of life. He says in verse number 2, He has in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He continues to describe Him, who, being in the brightness of His glory, and in an express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, whom He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Brothers and sisters, Jesus died to purge our sins. God not only spoke to us through the prophets, those prophets pointed people to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. And when He died, He purged all of our sins. But He didn't stay dead. Our Savior lives. And where is He right now? He's at the right hand throne of God. He's alive. So why do we look around for our hope? Why do we look down for our hope? Why do we look to our wallets and our bank accounts and our cars and our boats and our cabins? Why do we look at man? Why do we look at stimulus checks? Why do we look at the news? Why do we look at all these things for hope? There is no hope in those things. Our hope is in God. Is that where your hope is this morning? Is it honestly? When something goes on, who is the first source of hope you go to? Who do you call first? It ought to be God. It ought to be, oh God, help me. Oh God, strengthen me. Oh God, guide me. Oh God, lead me. Oh God, I need you. Brothers and sisters, it ought to be God and God alone that we trust. You say, oh, but why would God care about my little existence? Why would God care when this happens and that happens? God's way too busy to deal with my problems. No, that's why He wrote this for us. That's why He has spoken to us. That's why He gave us His Word and He gave us His Son, because He cares about you. I love it when Jesus said that He knows the very number of hairs on our head. Some of them are disappearing rapidly. But He knows about them. He clothed the lilies of the field. He sees the sparrows and He takes care of them. Don't you think He cares about you? Don't you think He cares about the issues of your life? Don't you think He knows what's going on? And yet He sits up in heaven saying, oh, I told you so. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Okay, you deal with that yourself. That's not what God does. He says, my child, look unto me. My child, call unto me. My child, trust me. That's what He's saying to us this morning. Where's your help going to come from? God Almighty. And He has spoken to us. And He has called us. Now go to Matthew chapter number 18 with me real quick. Go to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. There's some people who believe that Jesus is just a judgmental God. And He's just someone who came to make our lives miserable. And try to do something to our lives to make us not want to live anymore. Oh, He's just a judge and He doesn't care about us. No. Jesus had a bigger reason for coming. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. Verse number 10. Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 10. Jesus says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Talk about the little ones that are around Him. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus come? To save that which was lost. How many of you have been lost? All of us have been lost. Without Jesus, you are lost. So Jesus came to save you. So when He saves you, does that just simply mean that He's abandoned you after that? Does that just simply say, okay, you're on your own now? You start living your own life and you start doing your own thing and you just call me when you need... No! He came to save you and then He came to use you for His honor and glory. He promised to never leave you, never forsake you. When you see the light, you live in the light forever. Brothers and sisters, who are you trusting this morning? The psalmist says, I look unto the hills from where my help comes from. Jesus says, I came to save that which was lost. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us God used all these things to speak to us. But brothers and sisters, He didn't just come to make us Americans. By the way, God's not an American. Oh. Jesus Christ did not come to make us Americans. Matter of fact, America didn't even exist when Jesus Christ was here. What? You mean just because I'm an American doesn't mean I'm saved? Absolutely not. I'm saved in spite of being an American. I am a Christian, first and foremost. I'm an American because of the sacrifices that men and women have made. Matter of fact, I was born in America. I had no choice in the matter. I can choose now if I want to leave America. You don't like America? Go. Our country is not the best in the world. Our country is not the best as far as things go, society and those kind of things. But I believe that America is the best country in the world. I believe our democracy and those kind of things are what they ought to be. They could be better, but men and women have gotten away from the things of God and they're doing what they want to do. But brothers and sisters, I thank God I'm an American, but I thank God I'm a Christian first and foremost. So why did Jesus come? Not to make us Americans. So why did Jesus Christ come? Look at Luke chapter 4 with me. I'm proud to be an American, but I'm more proud of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Luke chapter number 4. Here's why Jesus Christ has come. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 16. And he, speaking of Jesus, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, where he was from, his hometown. And speaking of Jesus, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood to read. And there was delivered unto him the books of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He read from the book of Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's why Christ came. He didn't come to give us America. He came to save our souls. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance. He came to make the poor rich in Him. That's why Christ came. Stop equating America with salvation. There's no equal whatsoever. Jesus Christ is salvation. That's who I'm looking for. Now you say, "Brother Brian, you're getting blasphemous." How am I getting blasphemous? I love our country. But my hope is not in its leadership. My hope is not in our president and our congressmen and our senators and in our governors and in our mayors. My hope is not in those things. My hope is in God and God alone. What about you this morning? Jesus came to save us in spite of those things. Verse number 20, and it says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the minister, and he sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue, they were fastened on him." When he stood up and claimed this, they looked at him like he was crazy. They looked at him like saying, "He's equaling himself with the Messiah." And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He is identifying himself as the Messiah. And you talk about a bomb going off. When they had showed up that day in the synagogue, they didn't expect the Messiah to show up. When they came in that morning and they greeted each other with shalom, the men on one side and the women on the other side, and he lifted up that scroll and he began to read, and he says, "I am the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah." You could have knocked them over with a feather. They were completely shocked. They weren't expecting the Messiah. They were just expecting an everyday showing up. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And Jesus Christ is here. And he is speaking to us. And he's saying, "Look to me for your hope. Look to me for your help. Look to me. I am your only source." So how about it? Are you looking to him this morning? Is he your hope this morning? Verse number 23. And he said unto those people, he said, "You surely will say unto me this proverb." This is what you're going to tell me. "Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do thou also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many days or many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saying Naaman the Syrian." He said, "Listen, I didn't come to save you because you're Israelites. I came to save you because I love your souls." They were trusting that they were Israelites, and that made them okay with God. And God said, "Uh-uh." Jesus said, "I came to save you because you need salvation in spite of being an Israelite." Jesus has come to save us, even though we're Americans. He still came to save us. Look how they reacted. "And all they that were in the synagogue, when they heard those things, they threw a ticker tape parade and they lifted up and praised him." No, what does it say? "They were filled with wrath. And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city, and they led him into the side of a hill where their city was, and they might cast him headlong." They picked him up and they were going to throw him off the hill. They bum rushed him. They mobbed him. And we've seen a lot of that lately. They mobbed him and they began to push him to a hillside. And they were going to throw him off the hill because he claimed to be the Messiah, because he claimed to be the one to deliver them. He claimed to be their only hope, and they didn't want to hear it because they were Israelites. Brothers and sisters, your only hope is Jesus Christ. I am not your hope. If your hope is in me, that's a sorry hope. If your hope is in a man, that's a sorry hope. If your hope is in the fact that you're an American, that's a sorry hope. Your hope is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Why do you think people are so mad nowadays? Why do you think there's so much hatred and anger nowadays? Because Jesus Christ is not being proclaimed like he needs to be. People are turning from him. Jesus brings hope. Jesus brings healing. Jesus brings deliverance. Let's stop hating each other. Let's stop proclaiming what we think. Let's stop spouting off of what we wonder. No, let's proclaim Jesus. Let's live Jesus. Let's love people for Jesus. That's going to make a difference. You don't want to wear a mask? Fine. But quit spouting off at those who do. You want to wear a mask? Fine. Quit spouting off at those who don't. It ain't worth it. It don't matter your skin color. It don't matter where you come from. Brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus. And Jesus alone. And Jesus alone. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, then will I heal." You want healing in this country? There's nothing you can do about it. You can go march in Washington all you want. You can go to Asheville and march all you want to. That's not going to bring healing. You know what's going to bring healing? Humbling yourselves. Crying out to God. "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, make me what you want me to be. Oh God, make me the husband and the father and the man of God you want me to be." That's what's going to heal this nation. Well, Brother Brian, it's all up to you. It's up to you, and it's up to you, and it's up to you, and it's up to me. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves." It means you got to admit that your problem begins with you. My people, who are his people? those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. What color are His people? Every color. Every color. It's not up to the lawgivers. It's not up to the lawmakers. It's up to every person that claims Jesus Christ as their Savior to make a difference in this world. God help us. God help us. But it begins with you, begins with me, to be what He wants us to be. That's the only hope there is. That's the only hope there is. God help us. God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are our only hope. Thank You, God, that I'm an American, that You let me be born in this country. The freedoms that I have as an American, I thank You, God, for them. I thank You for the men and women who have sacrificed in the past to give me the freedoms. I thank You for the men and women right now who are protecting this country, not only in the service, but as policemen and firemen and first responders and nurses and doctors. I thank You, God, for our authorities, especially for those who love You. But God, thank You most of all, and most importantly, that I'm Your child. Not because of what I have done or what I deserve, but because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was spilt on my behalf. Thank You that You allowed me to call upon You and to place my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For without Him, we have no hope. So, Father, help us stop leaning upon our own understanding. Help us stop leaning on the fact that we're Americans, and help us start leaning on the fact that You are our only hope. Let us look to You. Let us obey You. Let us follow Your word and live for You on a daily basis. Forgive us, Father, of our sins against You, of pride and arrogancy and racism. Forgive us, Father, for doing things our way and our timing and in our attitude. Lord, we have a lot to repent of, but oh God, we have a lot to be thankful for. Thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. Thank You that we can meet in the building again and we can worship You. Thank You, God, for Your presence, the Holy Spirit. Now I ask You, Father, that You would take Your words this morning and You would burn them inside of our souls. That, Lord, we would take the time to go back and review these scriptures. That we would take the time to go back and say, God, speak to me through these. You're our only hope, Father. Deliver our country. Lord, please give our presidents and our congressmen and our senators and our mayors and our governors, give them wisdom from on high and may they turn to You. You are our only hope. May You cause a revival in my life, in the life of this church, in this city, in this county, in this state, in this country, in this world, that can only be explained by people humbling themselves, repenting and turning to You. Please, God, bless us. But, oh, Father, may we stop looking to ourselves and look to You. You are our only hope. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I ask all these things. Amen. Let's spend a few moments. Miss Show's going to play. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. If there's something you want to talk to God about, I encourage you to do that right now.